dbkmediaservices.com. You are listening to the SVC Sports Talk Podcast. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com. And now, here are your hosts, Shane Combs, John Bruce, and Bruce Knox.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into our first show of the new podcast year, this being show number 284, as we begin our 10th year of this gig. My name is Bruce Knox, and I'm pleased to introduce you to the two SVC sports nerds who will be bringing you all the intellectual content about the SVC over the next sports year. First, let's say hello to John Bruce. Glad to have you with us, John.
I would say I was glad to be back, but I feel offended being called a nerd. And I'm going to take to social media.
Okay, you do that.
Rant about this later.
Okay. Well, I'll look forward to that because that'll be great. We're glad to have you back. It's good to kind of be back in the studio and some normalcy is what I feel about doing this. It just kind of feels normal. I got a question for both you guys, but first let's say hello to the guy with whom there would not be an SVC Sports Talk or an SVC Sports Zone without this host, the one and only Shane Combs. Good to have you with us as always, Shane.
Great to be back, guys. In fact, you know, I don't mind being called a nerd. I was always referred to kind of as a nerd growing up because of how studious I was and how high academic achieving I was.
Yeah, so there you go.
Now that in my adult life that you can relate it to sports, it makes me kind of feel cool. So I won't have to go out on social media
later. Okay, well, we'll look forward to John's rant in a little bit. But first, I wondered, guys, as I prepared for tonight, we're taping on Sunday night as we typically do. See, it's almost normal. Don't you feel like maybe some normalcy is returning? I mean, it's different, obviously, but have you had a better week, in a long time?
I'll say I have. Okay. Outside of the fact that I realized how much I didn't do in like 5 months, 'cause I was exhausted this weekend.
Yeah.
But I feel like it was really good to be able to get out, you know, get back in school and then also be able to get out and watch some kids compete. And, you know, it was a little different, but, you know, it's still great to see kids be competitive.
Yeah.
So that felt really good.
Shane, what about you?
Yeah, it was well said. I just, you know, with getting back into the school, getting to see the students and the way they were just awesome in terms of the way they would come right in and follow the leadership. And it was a smooth week. I'm very thankful for that. It did feel good, John, to go down and watch football with you the other night. I know Bethany and I have been in the gym four times already to watch volleyball. It's our 11-day volleyball tour where we'll see all eight SVC schools. So we're kind of halfway home there. So it was terrific. And you know, obviously excited to get in the studio here and talk about it. But I think we're going to mention a ton of kids tonight.
Okay. Well, with all the COVID talk kind of to the side, what's your major headline for you this fall, John?
I would say off-season conditioning is more of a factor than ever.
Okay.
I think I saw it in a couple of different sports where some people looked maybe a little more tired than they would at this point, especially in like a league year. Mm-hmm. For football on Friday, I mean, those kids had sort of one scrimmage at the I'll use Uniota and Piketon. When they would have played during the season, it would have been week four after they had three or four scrimmages.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just that conditioning is going to be huge. And we saw a couple kids cramping up late in that game. You know, one kid let loose on his insides a little bit on the the field late. Yeah. You know, that's going to come from the conditioning, and it's very, you know, how hard did certain people push themselves during this? That stuff happens early in the season anyway.
Yeah.
But in a short season, how quickly are kids going to be able to come back and recuperate and be able to play each and every week, or every other night when it comes to sports like volleyball, soccer, things like that.
Yep. What about you, Shane? What's the major headline for you this fall?
Honestly, guys, I've touched on this. We've trended in this direction the last couple years, but I still find myself going back to somewhat of a picking from parity type of headline, because when I first started the website, the fall was very predictable. I don't want to use the term boring, because I appreciated the dominance in the standard set. And usually, you know, we started to get some things in the postseason or whatnot. But John, if you think back, I know on our website we have an SVC win streak page. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you go back and you look at the fall there, right at the end of the 2000s, leading up to like 2009, I know Westfall had won 29 straight football games. The obvious one is the Edina volleyball. Mm-hmm. Stretching out into 2000, I don't have that in front of me. I want to say it was 12 when they were just shy of 198 straight, and even their home winning streak was up around 142. Stupid numbers. And when I think back to that, and now I've had these conversations, which I'm sure you have too, John. When someone will ask me, "Hey, who do you think will win the football league?" and I'll say, well, you know, Edina on paper is probably supposed to be the favorite, but then I'll rattle off like three or four other teams that are very capable. You know what I mean? Like, we just watched two the other night, Unionetta Piketon. Watching the Paint Valley team on film against Edina, very, very impressive in certain spots. Mm-hmm. And obviously, Southeastern's your defending champ. The Westfall quarterback, the Whaley kid, looked really good the other night. So, and in the same way with volleyball, you know, you might have your favorites on paper, but I'm telling you what, those top five, six teams are all dangerous. So it's that. We still have it, Bruce, mm-hmm. in terms of, you know, domination, in terms of maybe a cross-country team here and there, or you'll get a certain trend in another sport. But really, the parity makes for kind of that excitement, in terms of you don't know exactly who's going to win when you walk into a gym or out to a football Friday night under the lights. And to me, that's what makes it really, really exciting. So I'm anxious to kind of learn a little bit more and see if I can't figure the puzzle out a little bit more, because it makes for some fun sports to follow.
All righty. Speaking of following sports and what's coming up on the agenda, why don't you kind of give us a rundown of what we'll be talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. We have some great sponsorship as always. Advanced Services is back with us. They're terrific. I appreciate all that they do. I know they're going to sponsor a little inbox look tonight, where we're going to be talking about some girls golf and how it's affecting golf. And then, John, I'm going to ask you some questions on how really it's going to go across the board in our fall sports. I know that North Fork Animal Clinic is back with us again. Really fun segment tonight, where we're going to look at the incredible quarterback play. John, I thought the quarterback play in week one was outstanding. Yes. Across the board. So it's hard not to break that down. And in doing so, gosh, I bet John and I almost accidentally mentioned 45 to 50 kids in the football league. So if you're a football fan and you have some family and friends involved in there, you know, you're probably going to hear some names from the particular team you root for. And then I want to really welcome this year Pickaway Ross Career and Technology Center. You know, obviously it's two things. We know they're a vocational school, and their work that they do there. Man, they have some incredible adult programs. I know as an eighth grade teacher in the junior high there for so many years, I get the privilege of taking my kids out there and going through room to room. What they offer our juniors and seniors throughout the area is incredible. But then what I've really learned here lately, guys, is their adult programs are off the chart. So, I mean, if you're looking for some different careers, you're looking for some different classes, Bruce will be throwing out some contact information later in the show. Please take advantage of that. So, again, can't thank them enough for what they do, not only for our high school kids, but really our adults here in the in the SVC community as well. So, you know, guys, that's kind of where we're going. I know, Bruce, before we get there, we're going to kind of look back at last year's champions. And so I'll kind of let you walk us down the way you see fit there in our introduction section.
All right. We're going to play a little game. We're going to call it Why They Could or Why They Can't. And what it is it'll look at the defending champs. What are their chances of repeating? So this is why they could, why they can't, and we'll go different different championships here, and we'll go to different people. Shane being the volleyball kind of king, if you will, at this point. Let's talk about, obviously, the champs from last year, Westfall Volleyball. Could they or can they, and will they? What say you on this?
Well, I think the first thing, anytime you're a defending champion, you deserve to be labeled as such. I mean, I think, John, we all agree, no matter what sport we're talking, that's an incredible accomplishment. And you have the right to wear that bullseye, in my opinion, until someone determines that you're no longer going to be that. And so I guess the first thing I would say in terms of can they, well, yeah, you know what I mean? Like anytime you have Kristen Phillips coming across the net and being a presence there, that obviously gives you a nucleus piece back that no one else in the league can match. Opposite of her with Marissa Mullins, the experience of a Claire Latham. And then there's three, four other names that you'll recognize. Now, they did get hit by graduation in one key spot there with Josie Williams. It looked like to me, and watching them on film, I'll get to see them in person Tuesday night in the league opener. It looks like Gabby Petit, a lefty we know from basketball. It's a nice athlete. I'm going to jump in and do some setting as well. So, you know, I know in their Logan Elm win the other day, Claire Latham dishing out 26 assists. That's encouraging because, you know, she's a returner, nice experience and so far. But in terms of if I go to why they can't, again, hit by graduation. And then I would say, John, it's the fact that you literally have another long list of teams that could step up and get you. And I don't think that's normal in sports. I mean, if you're a true title contender, a lot of times there's only going to be two, three teams that could realistically beat you. In volleyball, I don't know that that's going to be the case. I think as we get into the night, we talk about different situations. Adina and Zane Trace have rosters that go 10, 11 deep with really, really good players. Uniota off to a 3-0 start. Casey Pierce has been terrific. 3-0 Southeastern team led by Hannah Logie. They're scary. And then obviously anytime you go Megan Steele and Allison Basie, that's as good as 1-2 punch. We've seen Paint Valley already win. We've seen Piketon already win. So, I mean, it's just such a deep league that can they? Absolutely. I mean, led by Phillips and everything they have coming back, certainly some roadblocks there. I think once I am able to watch some league matches unfold here and get to see all eight teams in person, this time next week I'll have a much better feel of that.
All right, let's move along to football, where we had Southeastern taking the championship last year. And, John, I'm going to come to you first on this one. We're going to end up going to both of you getting your thoughts on football here. Mm-hmm. But why could Southeastern do it, and why might they not do it?
I would say their why would be a championship pedigree. They've had some kids that are just used to winning. They went 11-1 last year. I believe it was 7-4 the year before and 11-1 the year before. So these kids that are seniors have won. Mm-hmm. They've done a lot of winning. They've got kids. They have a new coach, but they have the same scheme. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's really hard to play against. It's hard to get ready for in a short term. So if they can get everything going on the same page, they can kind of get rolling. You know, get some good positive things going. Things that would have helped them would have been the preseason. And, you know, you lose a big name like Ruby. You also lose like a Thurston and other key players. You know, it's something you need the extra preseason time to build through. So I think that's something that'll hurt them. Obviously, you know, for me on the why can't they, obviously starting 0-1, that's not a great start. But also that replacing that historic senior class, you know, it's a lot to replace, but like I said, it's some guys that have won before, but you're also going against teams like Adina who made the playoffs last year, pushed for a league title last year. Still were competing for it late in the season. Paint Valley, another team with one of those championship pedigrees back. You have different teams that have had success that are built more for seniors this year. And then you also have just dynamic offenses in Union and Piketon that are going to be really difficult to match up with. So I think the depth of the league this year is going to be a big reason why they can't. But I really like that championship pedigree that they do have.
Okay. Shane, your thoughts on Southeastern football defending their championship?
Well, I thought John was really well said on the why they could side there, so I won't be repetitive. But, John, I wanted to throw one thing at you. The Westfall loss is really kind of a big thing there at the beginning, because when I looked at their schedule, you know, it's such a weird year in terms of there's someone you're not going to get to play. Well, on their schedule, they weren't going to play Edina. So I guess I was looking at it as if they could get Westfall. This is me thinking coming into the year. If they could get Westfall, they had a chance to start 2-0. And if they get to 2-0, could they get to 4-2? And if you get to 4-2, the four football teams that you and I watch Friday night, two in person and then two later on film, the four Friday night teams that played, man, they're really, really good. The chances of them beating up on each other isn't crazy. Okay, so, you know, running the table this year in terms of 6-0 would be really, really impressive. So I guess that's where I was coming from. The obvious thing of Ruby being gone too answers that question. Yeah. But I guess I was just looking at the particular thing. But the other thing I'll at least throw in out of respect of what they've accomplished, Bruce, is they get better and better and better. Sometimes what happens with that championship pedigree that John's talking about, you're not quite good enough in terms of the whole schedule to repeat, but boy, can you decide who does, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, they become that scary opponent that maybe on a certain night, John, they get out in front and now all of a sudden ball control, you're trying to play catch up against them. That might be something to watch for over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Next, we go to golf and Uniodo being our champions from last year. Shane, why they could and why they can't?
Well, why they could is they have an outstanding coach, Coach Dan Drummond, 27 years of SVC golf. They've won 19 titles, 18 of them outright. So that, you know, they've won 10 of the last 11. So that's why they can. You know what I mean? That's pretty obvious. But, you know, why they can't this year is we've kind of have a kind of a reload or a rebuild throughout our league where bogey golf is kind of looking to be the all league line. And, you know, Piketon, Southeastern, Westfall, all capable. We're going to talk about golf a little bit more in an inbox later, which is a really interesting dynamic I'll come up on as well. But I guess what happens, guys, is when bogey golf becomes all league, it's not hard for it to get away from somebody. Like if you're not familiar with golf, like if you shoot 45, if you're a bogey golfer, when a couple bad things happen to you, it can turn into 49, 50 in a hurry. Where in the past, we've had guys shooting 37, 38, 39. Even when they blow up, it'd be 41, 42. So when I look down here across the board, just throughout the first two matches, you know, I see representation in terms of Piketon at the top with Armstrong and Cummings and so forth. And then with Uniota, you know, you have Lewis up there and Tucker and Lott. And then you go across the board, you'll even get some Southeastern with Evans and Pop. And we know Richendollar from the past is even going to be higher probably by the end of the year than where he's at right now. You've seen a couple Zane Trace kids in there. The other night, Jack Latham, with the round of 40, he's an outstanding player. He's capable of going low. So the chances of having one of those swings, John, where you go from like, you know, first all the way down to fourth is very realistic if it gets away from you one night. Think about it. Most years you kind of know those two teams, and if they lose, they're going to finish second. You know, this year, don't be surprised just because Piketon wins a match. Don't be surprised if Uniota slips to third. If Uniota wins a match, don't be surprised if Piketon slips to third. So, again, it goes back to what I said before. Can Westfall or Southeastern win the league? That might be a stretch, but could they win an SVC match? Absolutely. So that's what to pay attention to. So, obviously, Uniota's tradition is very, very special. The reasons why they could's pretty obvious, but I think we're in for a pretty interesting stretch of golf.
All right. We're looking at our defending champions repeating then this year. And we're next going to look at boys cross country. John, Unioto being the champion from last year, why they could repeat and why they possibly won't repeat.
Well, they will. It's just I'm not going to say there's a why they can't. I'm not even going to. So I'm going to look at individual. So I know that might be going a little off the beaten path here, and not to put any pressure on Coach Paxton's team, but they just want a really good.
I think they'll be all right.
Yeah, they want a really good Pickerton invite, and then they sent their B squad to Huntington and got second in a varsity invite. So they're pretty good. I'll look at Corey Schoblock, who won the SVC last year in the individual boys. For me, on why he could, he's really, really good. I mean, it's these guys, like all of their guys, are really good, really talented runners. But there's a couple reasons why he may not be able to. Kind of with the pack mentality of how Unioto runs, somebody every once in a while is just going to pull away, where they might have five or six runners all together, and then the person who gets out in front, well, it might not be Schoblock. Lately, it's been Gabriel Lynch, who's a junior also with Schoblock. Clayton Lynch, his brother, is another elite runner. Turner Marco, Matt Spetnagel, different guys. Seth Ogan, another one that's really talented. Like, they kind of just keep filling guys in that can do it and love to run. I don't get it, but I know that they do, and they are elite. Like I mentioned, that Pickerton invite was really good that they won their section in, and I think they had the second best time overall. It was behind a big D1, and they're ranked number two in the state in the first coaches cross country poll. Wow. Just showing where they are to start, and I think that they have a good chance to sweep those top five spots like they have the last couple of years.
All righty. Let's go to Unioto and the girls cross country team. Shane, what say you about that one?
Well, I would say they certainly have to be the favorite just because their depth is so much better. You know, Westfall returns two of the top three runners in Olivia Barnes, Kylie Henry. They just don't quite have the depth. They do have the junior high champion from last year in Caitlin Shipley. Obviously, cross country is a sport where, you know, John, a freshman can come right in and yes. run their time. And you know, obviously you can impact Alyssa Wyman. There's another last name that we know pretty well from Westfall coming. But, you know, as I look down through last year, you just have to go down too far down the list to find the depth and the rest of the scoring lineup. That's where I think Unioto comes into play. Same way with Zane Trace. Obviously, Hannah Kerr is our individual champion. And I see her. She had a nice start the other day up there. John mentioned the really elite field that some of like Unioto and Hannah that were up there running. Mm-hmm. She had a real solid finish. So I look for her to really compete there toward the top. Again, she had a teammate in Hartsall there last year in a top 10 spot. But again, you go too far down the list, in my opinion, to find the rest of them. Probably the deepest team that could challenge them the most would be Huntington. Huntington's a team that the numbers are growing quite a bit. I know last year Huntington, you know, had four kids that ran real well up in terms of the top half of the standings there. But again, just finishing out the lineup is where Unioto gets you. So, you know, Unioto's a team. I want to say it was like five of the top 13 spots last year, I think it was, in the league. I know off the top of my head here, Spetnagel and Renner, O'Dowd. I know Mohan, Wright. I'm probably missing one of them. But it's one of those where – that just down the line that even they're at, even when you get outside of the all league, I remember looking earlier in the week, there were some different kids. I know Tabby Rollins was in there, in the top 20. So, just a chance, Bruce, in terms of depth, they're probably too much. I think Huntington's probably the closest in terms of team, maybe Westfall, if they can come up with one more runner, possibly. But I like Uniota Girls and I like Hannah Kerr individually, probably as certainly strong favorites. But that'll be something to follow as we get closer to that, because I know, like I said, Barnes and Henry and Spetnagel and Dowd and some of those kids really challenge Hannah to make for an exciting race, I'm sure.
All right. Where we really don't have a full league, but we have some people participating, John, these go to you. First, girls soccer. Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think we still have the five for girls this year. I believe we do. Is that right, Shane?
I think so, because okay. from what who's competed so far, Piketon would make with Southeastern and Westfall, mm-hmm. correct, with the two juniors? Yeah. Yes, yes.
Yeah, so we still have that with the Uniota girls. They return a lot from last year. They have really elite tactical play. They move the ball really well. They have an elite defense with last year's player of the year, Abby Seals back, Jaden McKell, Allie Cox, other, they moved, Ariel Pelletier back to right back to give them four in the back this year to give them, a little different defensive look. And then of course, Sydney Free, who's won the goalie of the year, at least the last 2 years in the league, is back as well. The thing I'll throw out there that maybe they couldn't is that they struggled to score. They didn't have, you know, a top line goal scorer last year. Brandi Robinson did a really good job for them scoring. She's got one of their two goals early this year. I believe she led them with either 9 or 10 last year. So, for a lot of local teams, you'll see really high scoring for your leaders, but with Robinson playing out of the middle, Avery Miller playing out of the middle, kind of gives their more dynamic goal scorers out of the midfield instead of up front. So I will say the struggle to score goals could hurt them, because like the other night down at Hillsboro, they outshot Hillsboro like 5-1 more or less. Like, but the score is 2-1 because there is a penalty kick that Hillsboro got and scored on. So if Uniota doesn't score, there's something happens in the box. Each school has somebody that can score the goal, score the ball. Mahaley Farmer from Westfall, really good goal scorer, coming back this year. You know, Savannah Addy, Brandy Guffey, or Alexis Guffey, out at Zane Trace. Guffey's got a couple of goals for them. The younger Guffey scored the other night. And then you have out at Southeastern, you have Mitten. You have Sierra Mitten, who has a chance to be the all-time leading goal scorer in Ross County if she has a big year. You know, there's a good chance that she can get a couple against anybody. And then Piketon has won a couple games already, which, you know, I'm not sure where they're at or who their competition skill-wise is, but that's a big step forward for their program. And they have an elite goal scorer or goalkeeper in Natalie Cooper, you know, a really good goalie for them that will keep them in a lot of games.
All right.
They had a young lady, Olivia McCray, have a hat trick the other night.
Yes.
I think, John.
Yeah.
Now, real quick, Bruce, I will ask John, on the boys' side, is Piketon, are they fielding a boys' team? Because that would put us back at 5, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I believe they are. I know they played as a JV schedule last year, so maybe they're still doing that this year.
Okay.
But I haven't looked close enough at the SVC team's schedules to see if Uniota gotcha. had them scheduled. Because I know Uniota didn't want to have them until they were on the – like in the SVC, I think probably for some competitive reasons. But
sure.
Yeah, and that Uniota team is going to be really fun to watch. Zane Trace has some good young talent. Southeastern has a nice junior class of athletes. They didn't have much success last year, but they've got good, fast, athletic kids that can play a little bit. So the boys' league could have some fun games to watch. I know when
Zane Trace is at Piketon, John, on September 28th on okay. boys. On the boys' side there. Mm. So that, I, you know, like you said, they could still just be playing. It doesn't mean it is a league.
Well, and then,
you know, on the boys' side, on October 5th, Uniota is at Piketon. So I just, that's intriguing to see if those are going to count this year, to see if they put a league together. Yeah.
All right.
So
go ahead.
That definitely could. Yeah, that definitely could count because, and also, with the way some of these Columbus schools are scheduling, if they are even playing, they could just add these games in to make it a league this year based on availability of other teams.
All right. John, what about tennis? Of course, we're missing Sylvia nowadays, but what are you seeing there?
Well, first off, I just want to say how happy I am for Sylvia to find a second place to go, because she had signed with Wright State, and then, you know, due to the kind of pandemic and everything, Wright State actually shuttered tennis. Oh, yeah. So she had to find another place. I know it was kind of up in the air on where she'd end up being. And then Northern Kentucky, which is actually in Wright State's conference, still had a scholarship still wanted her. So she ended up there. So it's really exciting for her. What I'll say about tennis, Madeline Shipley, she's back, made it to state as a freshman. I don't see a reason why she can't make it back as a sophomore. My only issue on that is I don't know who she plays. Because just going on the tennis page on our website, and we don't have anything on Adina, so I don't know who she's playing against, you know, what level of competition, because she's really good, still young, but finishing second in the district or region, I think it's district, at that level, and then making it to the state as a freshman is really impressive. She's back, only a sophomore. Should be exciting to get out and watch her at some point.
All right.
I was going to throw in for Uniota. They were really successful the last few years, obviously with Sylvia, but they had, different players as well with Eden Griesheimer, different players that had been able to score for them. They actually have their three singles players are all brand new to tennis. And this past week, they all won their matches. Good. And so Uniota won two team matches. So pretty good start for Coach Gray as they're 2-2. So that's an exciting young group to get out and watch as well.
All right. So some thoughts there on why they could and why they can't look at the defending champs repeating. At this point, we want to mention North Fork Animal Clinic, one of our sponsors. North Fork Animal Clinic, located at 2260 Anderson Station Road in Chillicothe. You can give them a call at 740-773-7387. And, of course, look them up on the web at northforkanimalclinic.com. We appreciate their continued support of the podcast and the website and SVC Sports Talk. Next, we want to move along and we want to talk a little bit about football, kind of centered around the quarterbacks, a little different style of offenses, and how it might just be a tough year, Shane, to be a defensive coordinator.
I would think so. I would say certainly some sleepless nights. It's just the, John, you mentioned a little bit there in the opening about the style of certain teams. You know, Southeastern going to the McWhorter kid now, and then the way they're so different in terms of the way you know, and then you see some of these spreads and the different things and the way some of these guys can really throw it. Some of them can run it. Some of them can do it both. Enjoyed watching Ben Nichols play the other day. Nick Marion there at Huntington. That was my first look at him. I certainly had saw some physical tools, maybe a little nervous, maybe just a little chemistry with his wide receivers missing, but certainly did see some tools there. The Whaley kid the other night was terrific. Levi Gaulley and Isaac Little the other night, John, that was – just fun. Yeah. I mean, I don't know another word for it. And then I got to come home and deep into the night, turn on the computer and watch Preston Sykes and Kevin Cooper. So, I mean, we're just everywhere, Bruce. Just the quarterback play is elite. I mean, those four offenses Friday night that I watched, again, two in person, two on film, outstanding. I mean, just outstanding. So I just thought it would be a great way to cover the league. You know, Bruce, if we take a what these defensive coordinators are up against and let John and I go a little back and forth maybe and talk about some of the factors that I think could really impact these great quarterbacks in terms of, some of their results throughout the year.
All right. Why don't we just do that then? We'll take an opportunity to do that, go back and forth, talking about what to watch and some factors. John, we're going to put you up first on the tee, so why don't you have at her?
Well, Shane, I'll bring up one that we noticed the other night, which is the weather. How will the weather affect some of these quarterbacks? I know with that when the rain was coming down hard, there was a possession for Piketon that had a couple of big drops where
second one of the night. Yep.
Yeah. A couple of big drops there. Giudicato then on the next possession then had a big drop that may have been a touchdown. Mm-hmm. So how will the weather affect how some of these quarterbacks are? The quarterbacks like to throw the ball more. You know, how are they going to adjust, and their offense coordinators, how are they going to adjust to the fall weather, well, I guess late summer weather, that we might be seeing? And also, you know, kind of some depth things for their receivers. I know Piketon was missing their leading receiver from last year, Johnny Burton. But, man, they had those guys they had out there were really good. So I'm just – I can't imagine how much better they're going to even be when he's healthy. So the depth for some of these teams, you know, can they get through an injury or two to their wide receivers and help out their quarterbacks?
Okay. Shane, one thing are you looking at? My intention here, guys, was we go back and forth about three times here. So Shane, what are you thinking?
Well, my first one, I'm just going to look the ability to run. I mean, look, football is quite simple. I mean, this person's going to touch it on every play. So your ability to run, your athleticism, your ability to create something when nothing's there, I think that's what really separates the elite high school quarterback. I thought on the game winner the other night, John, one of the things that went unnoticed about Isaac Little was his ability to create the time. And step up in the pocket to end up delivering the throw. I was thoroughly impressed with Gaullion's ability to run it.
Me too.
Obviously, we know he can sling it all over the place. I mean, we joked the other night about, you know, him throwing for 2,000 yards, and then we both said, oh, wait, it's only going to be 6 or 7 weeks in playoffs to did after the first quarter. I think we looked at it, okay, he might throw for 3,000 anyway. Uh-huh. So it was one of those where yeah, he was impressive. And then, you know, Whaley's ability to run, you know, obviously Sykes and Cooper, you know, I know Nichols had a touchdown run the other day. It just when things break down, your ability to run is the one thing that the defensive coordinator of the defense can't always have an answer for. And that high school play breaks down, or the kid runs the wrong route, or one of your linemen just simply outmatched that night. Mm-hmm. Can you just take the ball and just say, well, just like I used to do in the backyard, I'll just kind of make a play. I'll run around and I'll buy some time and I'll make a play with my feet or my arm or whatnot. So I think that's something to really watch for, John, is these guys and their ability to create something when nothing's there.
Mm-hmm. John, you mentioned the weather earlier, and he's mentioning trying to make something, how well you run. What's your other factor here?
Well, how will the non-scrimmage season, real preseason affects some of these inexperienced players when it comes to impacting the league in the passing games? Because if you look at, you know, Adina has Logan Bennett back for Preston Sykes, but they had a couple of other seniors last year that they were losing. It looks like they had Clay Wilt stepped up and had a nice game the other night. Paint Valley's got a lot of young kids who, like you said, Shane, could have played for most teams in the league last year, but it's still seeing a lot of varsity time for the first time. Uniota, their starters at wide receiver the other night, Bert Green was the only one that had a varsity catch coming into the night the other day. And I think they had 11 between the other guys besides Green. So, you know, they did a good job of finding spots. You know, Southeastern, they're not going to pass and catch a lot, but do they have the guys on the outside that can do it when they will occasionally do throw the ball? So, and like you mentioned, Huntington has a lot of dynamic athletes. can they get them the ball, and how will they be used to working in on different spots in the field. And I think you're probably going to mention Zane Trace's gigantic people on the outside. But yeah, like a lot of inexperience across the league, a lot of talent too, though. So how will that affect the league is something I have been looking at.
Okay. Shane, what are you watching? What are your factors?
Well, let's just kind of build off what John's saying there. I kind of had two different things, John, that kind of go together, I guess, targets or even red zone targets. You mentioned with Piketon, with Burton and Chris Chandler and Cameron Laura, all of them pushing up around 30 catches or more last year at 400 or 500 yards. Now you throw in a Fuller. Gallion has a lot of weapons there. Logan Bennett with the ability to make big plays, had a touchdown the other night. Payne Valley, we saw Cole Miller's ability to get behind the defense, and then what's really impressed me is his ability after the catch. A Trent Mettler is a possession type of guy, and then when you get into the red zone, I'm thoroughly intrigued by Zane Trace's size. You know, when you look at Caden Fry and Trey Edler and the Robinson kid, their ability to set it all up with their run game. They become really tough matchups. I mentioned Miller Mettler earlier. A Bo Blankenship is a guy for Paint Valley. He's a nice red zone target. I love what Uniota was showing the other night with DeBoard moved the chains the one time. We saw Greenwalt, his ability to make people miss. Cameron, I always say his last name incorrectly, John. I don't want to butcher it.
Lore?
No, Uniota.
Loans.
Sorry. Right. I wasn't trying to pronounce the name. And then obviously Green, Lucas Blackburn of Westfall. You mentioned Huntington with Brownback. They also have a kid named Emery Woods, I believe, mm-hmm. a move-in. Looked to be a nice-looking athlete. So there's a lot of targets, and I'm sure we're missing people down the way here, but there's a lot of targets that can make the big play. Some of them can run the deep route. Some of them are those possession guys, underneath. And then even the ability to get some of these big play guys, sometimes it's just a matter of swinging it to them in space and then letting them do their damage after the catch. So obviously if you're a quarterback that has multiple guys that can kind of help you pad the stat, so to speak. If I just have to swing it to you about a 7 or 8 yard pass to my left or right, John, and then you can take it and go 50, 60 yards, that kind of makes life easier on the quarterback, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
All right. John, do you have another one there?
Yeah, I would say the offensive line play across the league is going to make a big, big difference. Because if you looked at Uniota and Piketon the other night, Uniota was blitzing constantly, and Piketon's offensive line did a really good job. Yeah, Gullion did a great job of getting rid of the ball quickly, but he wasn't hit he was hit hard a few times, but they were doing a good job of keeping him on his feet and giving him protection. That's going to be huge, because these teams that don't have the guys to match up athletically on the outside are going to be trying to get pressure on Gullion to try to make mistakes. And how will the offensive line hold up across the league? I know Paint Valley's got a really strong offensive line. Adina still has a strong offensive line. Uniota's looked like they were improving throughout the night the other night. There's a couple plays where Piketon got to Little and he would get rid of it. But for the most part, I thought those teams did a really good job protecting. If your offensive line can keep your quarterback up and healthy, there's a good chance that you're going to have success throughout the year. So I think that's one of the more underrated things across the league.
And Shane, why don't you give us one more there?
Well, I think I love what he said about the offensive line. And I think when it comes to play calling that John was kind of talking about earlier with factors such as weather and so forth, I think having the running game, I know it's kind of cliche, but man, if I'm a quarterback, if I have the ability to not have to make every single play myself, that takes a lot off of me. I thought the other night, as good as Piketon's offense is, I thought the difference in the two offenses late in the game might have just been the ability for Uniota to turn and and hand it to a kid like Netter, the freshman. Mm-hmm. What a terrific athlete he is. You know what I'm saying? Like that's the type of kid we're coming in on a Friday night, week one. Most of our league, John, doesn't know who that is. Well, mm-hmm. they're gonna find out real quick.
Oh yeah,
you know, like he's dynamic. I mean, he's mm-hmm. nice. You know, obviously Mikey Nusser there at Southeastern. He's a guy that if they don't false start, if they don't hold, and he starts pounding it in there 3, 4, 5 yards at a time, it doesn't take long to eat the clock up. I mean, it's one of those of moving the ball down the field. Throckmorton of Edina we know about. Grubb, Bird, Paint Valley. So, I just think across the board, your ability to run it, I was impressed with Barnhart. And some kids from Zane Tracy the other day running it. But again, the speed of Halbaugh McCloskey with Huntington, maybe they, again, that line play up front doesn't give them some of the holes. Maybe it's more about Coach Keller trying to get them in space. So mm-hmm. The scheme and the play calling, Bruce, sometimes dictated by weather, sometimes dictated by matchups that John was talking about earlier, the running game, though, becomes real, real important. Does the quarterback have to do something every single play mm-hmm. or – does he have a little bit of a supporting cast that can kind of just take a little bit of pressure off of him? Because after a while, with all the read option that we play in football today, if I start showing the ball to my running back, after a while, if he's not a threat, then my ability to pull it down just becomes more difficult in terms of making people miss.
Mm-hmm. It's good to hear you guys talking football again. It really is. Is there? I've done my three allotted times here, but is there anything else you guys want to mention? Anything that you had on your list that we didn't get to?
Maybe just the confusion, the experience factor.
Yeah,
John, I don't know. You know, you mentioned kind of with the lack of scrimmage times. I mean, I've got to imagine coming into week one the other night, if you have someone like a Sykes, if you have someone like a Gallion, a Little, that has the experience and the knowledge of the playbook. I guess Coop did get about half a year there at Paint Valley. You know, four new coaches in the league. Don't you think experience at quarterback had to be a pretty big factor there in week one in terms of just being able to roll a game plan out and go?
Oh, yeah, I think you're completely right on that. Experience is huge, and especially, like you said, at the quarterback position, and being able to mix in with the new schemes that a lot of these places are having.
Right.
Good stuff, guys. We're going to move along now to our inbox. It is brought to us by Advanced Services Heating, Cooling, and Refrigeration. You can give them a call at 877-947-4499, or you can look them up on the web at advancedservicesHVAC.com, where you can schedule a consultation today. They've been celebrating over 20 years of serving Southern Ohio, and we appreciate their continued support. They're available 24/7 to respond, so whether it's installation, repair, or maintenance, their team is available. We did get this email, and I think Shane kind of highlighted this as we go to it. Interesting email here. I'll read the whole thing, and then we'll go back and pick up the questions within. Excited to hear you guys are coming back for another year of the podcast. I've always appreciated how much coverage you guys give golf, especially in recent years with girls golf. How close do you think we are to a league for girls? Do you think this does anything to hurt the boys' side? Last question, what else do you think needs to be done to help golf at the local level? Thanks. Can't wait to restart my Tuesday morning routine of SVC Sports Talk. Appreciate the input. Appreciate the questions. Let's get right back to them. I think here the first question we're going to throw out is, how close do you think we are to a league for girls? Shane?
Well, I think we're getting really close. I think obviously Westfall and the Lady Mustangs and what they've accomplished here the last couple of years, Huntington kind of breaking off, Piketon, Southeastern, Zane Trace. You think Uniota in terms of some of their enrollment and how important golf's been. Obviously, Emily Lott plays on their team, but mm-hmm. never really, John, been able to build to that. I know this Piketon team this year starting to post some respectable scores. Haley Reisner's a girl we know. Brianna Spencer, Maggie Armstrong had a real nice medal round the other night. McCarla Hay, Jayla Reiser, and then I know Zane Trace, Natalie Shope, and Lauren Betts, and I'm going to butcher the one name, so I apologize. I won't even try there. Madeline Marlowe, Yasmin Williams, Huntington, you know, with Kaylee Khan, Alyssa Khan, Natalie Hall, Tara Bushatz, the Southeasterns even had a couple individuals getting real, real close. And then, you know, you see, you know, so you see throughout in terms of some of these kids, you know, be a Sydney Ader in the Emma Wendland, Paint Valley, Emily Lott, Uniota, they, you get to these situations where they're playing on the boys' side, and it's good that they're participating there. But it's, in terms of that first question, Bruce, I think we're getting real, real close to putting those five teams into play.
Well, then you started to touch on it there. Do you think this does anything to hurt the boys' side?
Well, I think that's a strong – when you say hurt the boys' side, I think it's strong. I think it depends. Are there certain young ladies that could really, really help their boys? Well, yeah. I mean, the perfect example in our league this year would be Maddie Schultz. Yeah. You know, Maddie has some solid teammates there, and Emily and Maddie Cook, obviously two really good girls players. That are very, very capable, as Westfall has some high level. But let's just pretend for a second, okay? Let's just pretend that Westfall did not have a girls program like so many of the other teams, and she was playing in the boys league. Well, I mean, you know, you see Westfall's boys, they're getting led by, you know, Latham. They're getting usually four scores in the 40s, but oftentimes they're counting something into the 55. Well, you know, even from the white tee, you know, Maddie Schultz is a young lady that is capable of knocking, you know, on her worst night 15, but even on her best night 20 to 25 shots off that. So you're talking about jumping a team, John, from the four hole maybe all the way up to a couple second place finishes or a chance to win the match. So. That would be one place, if I'm being fair, but you know, I think it'd be great for the girls' game to be able to break off and compete and be able to set the course up in a way that's fair and go from there. So yeah, I'm excited to follow that. I think Emma Wendland, I'd done a piece on her on the golf archive page, and we've highlighted, you know, her improvement. And then obviously can't say enough about Maddie Schultz and what she's accomplished. So Emily Lott there is in the all league standings after two matches. So just a lot to follow there on the girls' side, but yeah, it can impact the boys' game for sure.
All right. The last question here, and Jonna, you jump in here if there's anything you want to add to these two, okay. But I think Shane's kind of our resident golf guy. What else do you think needs to be done to help golf at the local level?
Well, I had one thing here that I had a question for John based on this email as I was reading, and I thought it was really important. I've always said the way they go the postseason, I think you can move more parity, and I think you could get more kids playing at a proper developmental spot in their career if you would play five in varsity match. I think what it would do, I would love to see the SVC go to five, count your four, just like you would in the postseason. I think it would push JV golf. I think you would play four or five and only count three. And I think what you could do is you could mix the tees. Is you're starting to see some of these high school kids are starting to get overwhelmed by getting thrown in their freshman year. They're going out and they're shooting scores that it's just not fun. You know what I mean? It's not the way golf was designed to play. So you could maneuver the course. You could play certain tees on some par fives, certain tees on par fours, pick out certain shots on par threes, especially if certain things, and put it into a more development in terms of them going. Same way with the junior high, mixing more in. So that would be one thing in terms of if you could play golf where, you know, regulation par is a more realistic thing, the way the game's meant to be played, I think it could really help push more people into the game and not turn them away. And because a lot of times these kids go out and on a par four, if they can't realistically get on the green until their third, fourth, fifth shot, after a while, that's not even the way golf was designed to be played. So that's just something. I guess the question I had for you, John, is I don't want to be hypocritical here. You and I have always said that we want opportunities for kids to get involved. If there's something that can get more and more kids doing something at 3 o'clock after the final bell, I'm all for it. I guess the question I would have, You watched it over the last 20 years happening in soccer, where girls were at one time on boys, then obviously girls soccer has just boomed in our area. I'm starting to see it in golf. I really think we're 3, 4, 5 years away from girls golf just completely taking off. Do you feel though that fall seems to be where everything is, no pun intended, falling in terms of overwhelming some of the small schools in terms of trying to offer these things and really stretching our enrollment thin?
Yeah, because if you're looking at certain schools size-wise, it's really hard to get kids out to do as many things as are available. Because if you look at a school with a small enrollment like a Paint Valley, if you get a kid that plays volleyball, well, that takes away the golf, obviously, more than likely. But if they're in the band, are they going to be able to golf? Things like that. So I'm sure Paint Valley is still very far away from a soccer program, but if they would push for soccer, you know, that takes it to where you're having pretty much every kid has to do something to be able to get going. And that ignores the fact that some of these kids have to work. Some of these kids don't enjoy sports. We can't make everyone play everything. Right. You know, we would love to see it, but you know, it's just not, that's not something that can really happen. And financially, are some of these sports going to be feasible at different places as well? So I think we need to be careful on what certain schools offer. I think it's great to offer as many things as possible, but you also want to make sure that, like you said, you have a chance to have some sort of success, because I know one of the reasons why I stopped golfing was I'm still okay, but other people got good and I'm like, this isn't as much fun. So if you're just not competitive,
right,
it's not very fun to do. So I think that's something that probably has hurt our golf league over the past few years.
Well, we certainly appreciate the email, and I'll be giving some information about how those of you who are listening out there and have any questions or have some input can do so just in a little bit. Next up, we want to mention, as Shane mentioned earlier, a new sponsor, Pickway Ross Career and Technology Center. And they're specifically their adult education program, where they focus on the fact that they offer in-demand career training in under a year. Almost all of their full-time programs are on the Ohio's in-demand jobs list, and they offer training in health technology, skilled trades, public safety, and IT. Their full-time programs are financial aid eligible for those who qualify, just like regular colleges and universities. If you would like more information, please give them a call at 740-642-1288. That number again, 740-642-1288, and you can look them up on the web as well at www.pickawayross.com. That's Pickaway Ross Career and Technology Center, a new sponsor here on the podcast. All right, guys, a couple more things to go here. First thing we're going to do, just give you an opportunity here to name an athlete around the SVC. For both of you, we're going to go back and forth five times. These might be kids that are ready, in your opinion, to take a major step forward in any sport that you want to mention. Again, breakout stars around the SVC. Just name us an athlete. Maybe give us a little support for why you think that kid is ready to take a major step forward. So, John, we'll go to you first.
Yes. Yes. All right, because I'm making sure Shane doesn't take this. I'm going Lucas Haynes Union.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because Friday night he goes 5 for 5 on PATs, makes a 35-yard field goal that's probably good from 42, 43 from the left hash, and just drilled it. I mean, yeah. He's a freshman. That's his first game kicking. Oh, and the night before, where he had a goal and 4 assists in a soccer game. So he's got, in soccer, he's got 2 goals, 4 assists for Union's 2-0 start. And then he just comes out, you know, to do a second sport, which is football, and has 3 touchbacks and I didn't see the stats on it, but I would say probably a 10 to 15 yard advantage on field position off kickoffs. Yeah. So, I mean, I think he's going to be a major star in a minimum of two sports across the league over the next 4 years.
All right. Shane?
Well said. Well, let's go volleyball. Let's go Katie Hirsch. Katie's a young lady we know from a variety of sports, and volleyball included. But this year, the role, you know, there's probably I mentioned Josie Williams earlier at Westfall. Probably the next biggest graduation piece in the entire league is probably Alyssa Steele, the setter there at Huntington. When you return someone like a Megan Steele and an Allison Basie, by far the best 1-2 punch in terms of hitting in our volleyball league, you know, how are you going to get them the ball? What's going to anchor your rotation? And I think the answer for Huntington's Katie Hirsch. I'm seeing, you know, stat lines where she's dishing out 31 digs, or dishing out 23 assists and having 31 digs, 17 kills herself. That's impressive. You know, John, all of a sudden you get that third piece and it just takes your team to a whole nother level. I know Huntington went on the road, a tough test with Benton County, and then ended up beating North Adams. This is a Huntington team, though, that very, very dangerous. They were in the regional last year, returning the three kids I mentioned there. I know Carly Dyer's back. I know they're excited about some young kids. This is a team that could be really good, and I think Katie Hirsch is going to be a breakout star in terms of really taking them to another level.
Hey, I had noticed – when they played in the district finals last year, and all I could think of was I knew where she got her leaping ability from. Cause if you ever played against her dad in basketball, it was, and I saw her go up a couple of kills on there. I was like, whoa, where did that come from? So when you told me the other night that she'd been really impressive, I wasn't surprised at all because, sure. Yeah, just one of those kids, comes from a nice background, and you know, is going to be a hard worker based on that background as well.
John, and you're number two.
I'll go with Hannah Lougheed from Southeastern Volleyball. She was all SVC last year as a sophomore, but kind of takes over from Skylar Heiss as the featured piece for the Panthers. She plays all around. Like you mentioned with Hirsch, you know, she's involved in all kinds of different stats. They've started off 2-0 with a couple of good wins, and you know, they have some nice talent. And of course, you have one of the greatest coaches in SVC history has taken over with Lori Coker. You know, I'm excited to see how she grows as a junior to become one of the really elite players across the league this year.
Great pick. Yeah.
All right. Shane, you're number two.
Well, let's cheat a little bit and let's get a Jack Latham and a Claire Latham in here together. I think in the golf scene, John, you mentioned a great point. Sometimes a breakout can be from role player to all league, but it can also be all league to like elite status. And I think, you know, the other night, you know, Jack Latham with the medalist round there in the SVC, I think that could certainly be a factor. And I think that Claire on the volleyball side with the defending champion Westfall team. I talked about her in the opening a little bit, 26 assists the other night. A key piece. I think she's a kid that could really go next level. So two Westfall athletes there to pay attention to.
All right. Number three for you, John.
I'm going to go back to golf, and I'm going to go with Owen Armstrong from Piketon. Another one of those kids that was all SVC last year as a freshman. He is – I know it's only through the two matches, so you drop one, but he's tied with Latham for that top spot, shooting a 40 in their first round win, or round one win for Piketon. So if they're going to make their run, they're going to need him to continue to be an elite player. Like, he looked like he was going to be near the end of last year, having a good start to a sophomore year.
Okay. Shane, your number three breakout star.
Well, I'm going to kind of stretch it here a little bit because I'm going to go to Zane Trace and Allie Bennett. Now, Allie Bennett was already a pretty good, you know, big star, a big piece, you know, best player on a team that, you know, obviously what made district final last year. I just think with her, I think there's a whole nother level she can go to. And I think in watching her play, I think the biggest thing that I'm excited to see with her is, can she just make more of the simple plays? This is a kid that John plays extremely hard. I mean, extremely hard. And will compete and try to do whatever it takes to win. Honestly, sometimes with her talent, I just need to see her make the simple play more. You know what I mean? It's one of those things. I think we've run into that with kids in all sports, but she's a kid that with Zane Trace's ability to compete right here at the top, I see no reason why she won't be in a top, you know, 3-4 list in terms of player of the year, because we know how that always has to do with the standings. It won't always be statistically with the Zane Trace kids, because like Adina, they play 10-11 kids. So sometimes the stats get stretched way across the rotation, which is fine. But just in terms of her individual ability, I think Allie Bennett's going to take a whole nother step this year toward the top of the all-league standings.
John, I believe we're up to your fourth pick.
Yeah, for me, I would go Hannah Burns from Medina for volleyball. Was a nice piece for them last year, but really exploded down in Benton County the other night, kind of taking over a bigger role. I was watching them last year. I was like, this might be a team that goes to the Final Four a couple times. Well, now they just have another sophomore coming up and being elite. So I think for them to make that really next level run, they're going to need her to continue to really dominate like she did the other night at Vinton County.
All right. Number four for you, Shane.
Well, I'm all going to go to the Paint Valley backfield. I kind of went back and forth here with the trio, John, of and maybe you can help me from kind of an outside fan looking in, with, you know, Cavan Cooper, and then there's Tramell Bird, and there's even a Cordell Grubb in terms of a runner. Because I feel like a lot of people in the football league got introduced to Cavan Cooper last year, you know, when he got thrown into the fire a little bit. And so I don't know in terms of breakout if that term fits, but to me, the Bird kid is a special athlete. You know, we watched him defensively a little bit the other night. He goes over 100 yards. He's a kid that can really go. And I know people know Grubb from basketball, and then on the football field, his ability to punt and run it. But to me, in those three, it would be Bird in terms of the term breakout. Is that fair? Kind of give me a perspective outside of Paint Valley. And that trio, is that the way you would look at that?
Yeah, I think so. I was shocked when you told me that he was still there, because I feel like he's been making impact plays on the defensive side of the ball. So I'm not super, I'm not shocked by that at all, because of, you know, his ability to just play. But I do think, you knew Cooper and you knew a little bit of what Grubb could do anyway. So I do think with Bird being the breakout there, but that's going to be a dynamic offense throughout the year. And it's going to be because of that backfield.
All right. I think we're down to the fifth pick for you, John.
I'm going to go with Ben Nichols from Zane Trace for football. You know, the thing you hear most with them is that they have some really good young talent. Well, you don't hear as much about their juniors as you do their freshmen and sophomores. He's a dynamic athlete in the backfield. Can do a lot of different things. As we saw the other day, he can run it. He can throw it a little bit. And he's a heady player. So if they're going to make a big turnaround, I mean, they only won one game last year. They've already got that one win equaled this year. If they're going to make a little bit of a jump to go into a big jump next year, they're going to need Ben Nichols to be a big part of that.
All right, Shane, your fifth pick.
Well, I'm going to go to golf, and I'm going to go with the freshman and Charlie Lewis. It jumps out at me just the way the Uniota program, and I guess this is why you win 10 out of 11, John, and you win over two-thirds of all the championships in league history there. When you consider a freshman, if you mentioned it a second ago on our Good Health Chiropractic Center SVC leaderboard there for golf, the we go ahead and drop the lowest score all year long. I know it looks weird this early in the process, but it'll make more sense as we get going. But he's at 85 total strokes, which is pretty much right there toward the top. And it's just – again, it's one of those where you think, okay, Uniota might be a little down here. Or they may struggle here and here. And then all of a sudden, the first 2 weeks of golf starts, and here comes a freshman shooting these types of scores. So shout out to him and a shout out to the program in terms of the way they just continue to reload.
All right, that's Around the SVC, where we've named an athlete, breakout stars, kids who are ready to take a major step forward. Lots of names mentioned there. You guys kind of snuck in a few on me that weren't meant. They were mentioned, but maybe kind of tossed out. And so we got a lot of people mentioned in there. I'm going to flip the script here a little bit, Shane. I'm going to give the contact information as we move into our final hurry up offense here to end the show. For if you would like to provide any input to either of these two gentlemen, you may do so by using the following methods. Email, Shane is admin1@svcsportzone.com. John Bruce, his email is jbruce1018@yahoo.com. On Twitter, you can get a hold of Shane at svcsportzone, where his handle is svcsportzone. And on John, his Twitter handle, of course, the ever popular Coconut Wall Papa. That's Coconut Wall Papa, not paper. I always think it should be paper, but that's, we've heard that story. On Facebook, Shane maintains two profiles, Shane Combs SVC Sports Zone and svcsportzone.com. And I want to also mention, if you would like to leave us a voicemail message, you may do so by calling the DBK Media Services at 740-569-3254. That number again, 740-569-3254. If you see our information on Facebook, we ask that you please share it. And on Twitter, you can retweet it or like it. And if, as always, you are listening to us on iTunes, we would benefit from a good review and a great rating. So now we're going to go back to hurry up offense. We're just going to have some fairly rapid fire questions here. John, your favorite thing from tonight's inaugural show for season 10?
I feel like we were able to kind of get back into the groove and name probably upwards to 85 to 90 kids, maybe more. But we also didn't even mention we kind of went around it, but the 46-yard pass from Isaac Little to Maddox Fox to win the game for Uniota. Maddox Fox is another kid that we could have mentioned as one of those breakout kids.
Yeah,
had almost absolutely 100 yards receiving the other night. I just recalled that. I don't think I mentioned him.
No.
So I think he's going to be one of those really special athletes across the league. And to me, that's what stands out even more about this show, is we could look at this later and be like, man, we still missed a lot of really good athletes to name in this show.
No doubt.
So if these kids didn't hear it on this show, they're definitely going to hear it soon, because we're going to get out and we're going to watch a lot of games for these kids to be able to show out for us.
Okay, Shane, what about you? What's been your favorite thing from tonight's show?
Well, I really want to just kind of piggyback on what he just said, because our number one goal here in season 10 is to get back to naming kids, kids, kids. I mean, this is something that we're going to be doing far more this year. These extra conversations, these extra things that people really want us to talk about, if it applies to the SVC, like tonight's golf email, we certainly will. But that's where kind of the Expanding the Zone podcast, John's podcast moving forward, in terms of taking some of these other things and taking it down a different path. That's what those are there for. But John and I have talked a lot about SVC Sports Talk, where we want to really get back to naming kids and naming programs. I think it's going to be the norm, because John, I agree, I bet there's another 10 to 15 kids down here in my notes that I didn't quite get to this week that I'll certainly try to get next week.
Well, John, what are you most looking forward to this week?
Well, I was given a schedule from Derek Webb on what to cover this week. So don't just think that I'm doing it because it's Uniota, but I will be watching a lot of Uniota sports.
Oh,
so Tuesday, I'll be out watching Zane Trace and Uniota volleyball. Should be a great match. And then Thursday I'm going to Fairfield Union to watch girls soccer with Union at Fairfield Union. I'm covering both those for SOSA.
Okay.
So, and then Friday, I'll be out at Union and Adina, which should be a huge matchup, a really good game across the league. But I'm really looking forward to following the different live streams of these sports, be able to watch as many things as possible, because it's fun to do.
Wasn't it neat, John, how basically in a 24-hour period this past week, we were able to watch all eight SVC football teams? That was incredible.
Oh, yeah.
I wondered if you guys wouldn't kind of touch on that. I know that, you know, that might be expanding the zone type topic, but yeah, there have been some, dare I say it, some good things to come out of this. I mean,
you're right.
You don't know if they're going to stick, you know, when normal does come back, but it certainly, you know, it's different, but there have been some decent things out of it. I was kind of watching some of the Sosa's coverage last night of the game at Southeastern too. So, you know, that wouldn't have been something that I would have done prior to this.
Right. So. Well, I'll say this, like, I don't think it should go back to where it was before when we weren't really doing this, because people are still going to come to the games, but there's people that, I'll mention Jason Tress, Shane, that you know very well. He listens to the WKKJ games all the time, and he doesn't live in the state because he wants to follow people around the area. I know on that first Sosa broadcast we did, just the Union of Scrimmage, we had people – there was somebody from South Carolina said that they hadn't watched a Union of football game in 30 years.
Right.
But they were able to because it was out there. So I think it's something that, you know, if everything else goes back to normal, that's great. But that's something that I want to see that change continue, because I think it's even better for these kids. And if you've got family living – like I have family in Texas.
Yeah.
If they would want to watch my games in high school, if I was still playing, they could do it.
Yeah.
So I do think, like you said, Bruce, there are some good things out of this.
Okay. Well, maybe that's a topic for another day too, because there, you know, it we could review how it's. I have a feeling someone's going to want their pound of flesh when things get back to normal.
Right. So,
Shane, what about you? What you looking forward to this week?
Well, I think more of the same. The one thing I wanted to kind of talk about last Friday night to lead into this Friday night is I wanted to thank WKKJ. Paint Valley had reached out to me in terms of ideas for getting the Paint Valley Adena game out there, and we utilized the YouTube, and I know hundreds and hundreds were watching it, going back and forth. I think there's been over 4,000, almost 5,000 views on that thing in terms of – but what made it so incredible – is there some of these live streams I've watched with where they've just shown the game. We had the ability to have WKKJ punched in there. We've had a longstanding thing here where we'll never step in and call a game that KKJ wants. I just think that's out of line. WKKJ has been doing this for way too long, and they're just better.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things to let them do that. Now, this Friday night, Kai Pulliam's going to jump in with me, where John's going to be covering over at Uni at Adena. Kai Pulliam's going to jump in with me. We're going to stream again on our YouTube channel the Paint Valley Piketon game, which should be a big-time game. I think two teams that are going to be crazy dangerous in the playoffs later on this year. You're not going to want to play them in the first round at all. From a league standpoint, it's certainly probably an elimination game. You know, obviously Adena, Uniota, someone's going to lose. And then, you know, Paint Valley still plays Uniota, Piketon still plays Adena. So there's a lot, you know, still going on there in the league. So we're excited about that. So make sure you check out our YouTube channel. Plus, I've got all kinds of volleyball coverage throughout the week. And again, this week, volleyball guys, it's going to be another 3-night week in the gym for me. My wife, Bethany, and I, as I've been putting out on Twitter, we're on our 11-day tour where we'll see all eight teams play in person. This week, we see Paint Valley Monday night down at Benton County. I'm anxious to see them. I know Olivia Smith's really in for a big-time junior season, and they put Avery McFadden back at Libero, and she's terrific. And Bailey Brumfield's still back there passing with her, and they're going to move a sophomore in and Caitlin Potts to do the setting. And, you know, there's a lot of athletes there, guys. Abby Stanforth, Addie Furness, Kayla Chapman, Kendall Dye. I know Mandy Bowles has played a little bit there. So I'm anxious to see how they match up. Our SVC's kind of seen Huntington play Benton County. They've seen Adena play Benton County, just to kind of see where they go. Tuesday night, the league opener, Bethany and I will be over Westfall Southeastern. So, again, seeing the defending champs there. John mentioned Southeastern off to a great start with a lot of nice athletes. Southeastern's really tall, really long at the net, the ability to stretch out. And keep in mind, John, they're playing without Ava Christopher early in the year here. Mm-hmm. So if she can return, boy, does that help. And then Thursday night, we will see Huntington and Uniota. And I talked a lot about Huntington and some of their breakout. I watched Uniota the other night. Casey Pierce, it could have been another one we put in that breakout piece. I wasn't sure. I kind of felt where she, like Allie Bennett, was kind of already an all-league player. You mentioned Hannah Logheed earlier. She kind of fits into that. But, you know, they have a lot of nice kids. They're mixing young and old. And I honestly thought they would need 2 or 3 weeks to kind of figure out their rotation. They've hit the ground running here at 3-0. So that's exciting, Bruce. I mean, volleyball throughout the week, football Friday night. Check us out on the YouTube. You can listen and watch our game. Then you can follow with what John's doing there with the Uniota Adina. I know Sosa's doing some piece. I believe KKJ is going to be out there, correct?
I think so. So I don't know what we're going to be doing coverage wise. I might be just doing my coverage of enjoying a great game,
right?
Like I was able to do this past week. So that part was really nice. So yeah, we'll see on what happens with that.
Sure. So Bruce, I think you're the expert, but I think we at least didn't mess that up too bad for our first night back, did we?
No, it's kind of like we just did this, what, two months ago or something like that. Weren't we still on in June of this past year, I believe, when we did that?
Right. Yeah, so, June 9th was our last.
Okay, so we didn't have nearly the time off that we normally do. I guess we were shy by about a month and a half or something like that. But
well, we're more like to Preston Sykes here in terms of experience, 280 some shows in, we probably should know the playbook, right?
We should.
Senior quarterback should probably know what's going on.
But when you get as old as I am, you forget. That's the problem.
So, yeah, but again, check out the website there. Speaking of Preston Sykes and Casey Pierce, congratulations to them. Herbie Strange Athlete of the Week there as we start that back up. That's posted on there. And make sure you're checking out all the different things and that we're doing on the website and the YouTube. So guys, we're excited about it. We'll see you again next week and look forward to talking a lot of SVC sports. You can always count on it being 100% SVC 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the SVC Sports Talk Podcast. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com. Join us next time for SVC Sports Talk and visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC 100% of the time.